falls work time. So it's time to go to work. So I thought, what are the things that, what are the work assignments that we get on the spiritual journey? And basically, there are four spiritual practices. That's all there are. There are many different forms of them, but the first one, which is really the only one, and all the others are to help that happen, but that's love. Okay. Getting better at it, opening to it, connecting with it, learning about letting it move us, because that's just divine flow. And then there's the practice of prayer. The most universal spiritual focus on the planet. Doesn't matter what religious organization or spiritual orientation you show up and connect with, they're going to have some form of prayer. And then there's the beautiful practices of meditation, of entering into stillness, to let us experience and work with that which is beyond our minds. That infinite potential that's so much a part of who we really are. And then the last one, the fourth one, is what you do with all that. And it's called service. It is letting all this that we've been touching and learning and connecting with flow through us. Because that is where all of those things mature. That is where we move from I and mine into the amazing experience of oneness that is before us through the simple paths of service. Now, first of all, I could quit right now. You guys are so good at serving. You're just amazing. This is where we appreciate all our volunteers today. And basically, as far as I can tell, looking around here, it's every single one of you. And it is absolutely amazing what your love gives and helps create for this whole spiritual community we're a part of. So this is just taking a moment to remember, oh, that's right. That's part of why I do that. When I look at Jesus' teachings, because great teachers on the planet through the ages, he's just the one that does it most for me most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. And so he's got these focuses again and again on the experience of service. And so I wanted to share with you maybe the one that's best known, but perhaps in a little different way. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he's just been in a dialogue on the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so the question comes up, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came down where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He put his man on his own donkey and took him to an inn to take care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The man replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told them, go and do likewise. So we have a picture of the assignment, the growth in love, care, and compassion. It is care and compassion that expands our awareness from I to all. That is the power of this beautiful experience in consciousness, the experience of compassion. Now, there's many, many things within this story, but it's really what follows it that I want to go into. Because I know that we feel great compassion for the people in our lives, for the people in the world, as they struggle and as they have their difficulties. It happens so naturally within us, and we find many, many different ways to respond. But immediately after that, this is what the gospel says. As Jesus and his disciples were on his way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by herself? Tell her to help me." Anybody have a sister that needs a little help? A little encouragement to get, you know, that I'm just... My sister would say that about me. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Interesting reflection. And the one, we had all these things to do. All those folks out there in need. You know, get your donkey. Your oil and your wine. Good wine, preferably. So you're going, you know, there's like this task list of all the things in the world. And Martha's busy with the task list. You ever had somebody show up at your home, let alone somebody with an entourage? Okay, all the things to be done. And he doesn't go for the task list. Now, first of all, I have no idea if this really happened. It may have been an illustration that he was simply sharing with disciples of the difference of two feeling states of consciousness within us, because that's what it symbolized. But my guess is that there was probably some reality in it. But when we look, the picture is of, again, feeling world. In the scriptures, the feminine is symbolic of the feeling nature within us. So we have two feelings. One is, oh my God, there's a task list. And the other is, I am aware of the divine presence. Very different experiences. Ones we both have had. But it's my understanding that what he's talking about in the Good Samaritan is that that being was capable of seeing the divine presence. And so he reached out to help a spiritual being, a child of God. And that is what drew the love through him. That's what draws the compassion to us. It's not the task list of infinite need. It's the ability of us to perceive the divine in those the Spirit brings into our world, into our journey. And sometimes those people that share that, those people that awaken to that, surprise us a little bit. I learned of the experience of a man, his name's Kerry Wood. He lives in Pacific Grove, and his son lives in San Francisco. And so he and his wife were going up to be with their son. They were going to go to a nice restaurant in San Francisco, and then he was headed on up to Napa to do some golf. So his wife, he says, was off shopping in Union Square, And he went to an ATM, got out $200 in 20s and put them in his wallet because they were going to the restaurant. And then he headed off to, he had some more things to pick up. So he's walking along and his path took him through the Tenderloin. Now, if you're kind of new to this area, you may not be aware that the Tenderloin is seen as one of those seedier districts of San Francisco. But the fellow, as he was going along, he was aware of this. He said, but I really didn't see any drug dealing or prostitutes there. There were plenty of, you know, homeless people and panhandlers and that sort of thing. But he was actually, you know, enjoying looking at the little shops around as he was traveling through. Now, as he was going, he suddenly was hit with a San Francisco blast of wind. Now, if you've been to the city, you're aware that every now and then, all of that wind moving around channels down between a couple buildings, it just hits you. Well, it hit him and blows his hat off, and so he reaches for his hat. Now, it was cold, you know, it's always cold in San Francisco. He had his hands in his pocket, pulls him out to grab that hat, and when he did that, his wallet came out, flying through the air, opening up. All the money in his wallet is picked up by the wind, and his identifications and credit cards, and distributed across the Tenderloin. Now, what happened was there was a little boy and his sister, and the part of his wallet that had the picture, you know, the plastic part had fallen there, and the little boy and his sister pick it up and bring it over to him. Oh, thank you. He's so appreciative. And somebody comes over with his Medicaid card, and somebody begins, you know, brings him a couple of the 20s that were flying through the air. And more and more people, you know, just as it goes down, somebody grabs something, pick him up, bring it over to him. So he's not aware of, you know, of all the details. He just knows that it's nice. Some folks are responding and, you know, and helping him with what just happened. And he hears a call from somebody, and he turns around, and it's the lady that was panhandling that he'd just passed, you know, a couple doors down. And so she's got these 20 she's waving. And so she says to him, "Are you the guy that is littering our neighborhood with all your filthy lucre?" He says, "Here you are." And they just, you know, they have a wonderful laugh over that. She gives him the 20s, and he recognizes her as the panhandler. So, you know, he goes to give one back to her. She says, "I don't want to profit from somebody else's misfortune." She says, "Unless you're a lot richer than you look, you're going to need that." So he finally convinces her she'll go for a dollar or two. So she does that, go on. He gets back to his hotel, pulls the stuff that folks have brought him out of his pocket. It's all there. Every ID, every credit card, every single dollar, every single 20. People are naturally in service. It's who we really are. If somebody has a problem, we respond. If you're in a place that has an image and a history of need, doesn't matter. You see, what is within us is so much greater than all these ideas that we have. What I loved is really took on my judgment of the Tenderloin. That was going, whoa, it's all just people. That's who we are, and that's who we all are. What happens is we want to give. It is how we grow. It's how we take this beautiful presence and bring it into that which is greater. It's how we move beyond division into oneness. It's how we move out of me and into the allness that really is the true nature of our beings. Now, there is a most beautiful law. The law goes, as you give, we receive. Actually, there's another law that comes in there, and I won't go into all of them, but basically it's not true. You always get more. It's the nature of the universe to bring us back more than we give. And because you give a lot, you know that's true. You know. You always get more than you give. A young man, his name is Tony, and Tony probably wasn't 20 yet. He was going to college. This was his freshman year. So going to college, he kind of went to college as I went to college. He wasn't really interested in studying, maybe more in partying. Now, I know that wouldn't apply to any of you. But so he joined up with one of those college clubs that's there, you know, and so they got together, and they were helping events to happen and doing service projects. And so they got this thing where there was food to be distributed, and they took it out. They went to a senior project area, and so they were taking it to the different knocking on the doors and sharing it with people. And some of these folks would ask them in. And so I say, really realized that almost as important as the food was just the connection they were having with people. One fellow, his name was Loki, invited Tony in and his buddies and made some hot chocolate for him, shared with him something that he'd whittled. And Loki was 92 years old. It was an interesting experience for Tony. And Tony saw all the pictures of, children and grandchildren that were around, but it kind of became obvious that the family had forgotten about Loki, wherever they were. And Tony felt kind of a heart connection with this guy. So they of course, were invited back. So he went back a couple times and visited with Loki. And Loki shared with him a little bit about some of the things that he enjoyed, and showed him how to whittle. And again, I realized in this was a symbol of higher consciousness, because he taught him how to tie flies for fly fishing. And some of you may not be aware that of the 12 disciples, they were fishermen. But Peter, James, and John were very special to Jesus. And we understand that is because they were fly fishermen. So it was, obviously this is a wonderful man. Anyhow, they... Tony goes to see Loki. It's Christmas time, and he's bringing him a Christmas gift. They've connected a number of times through the year. When he gets there, he finds that the night before, Loki had made his transition. That was really quite an experience for Tony. But one of the people brought him an envelope and said, Loki had written this, and it has your name on it. So when Tony read it, this is what it said. Dear Tony, it's my time to be with Esther. Now, Esther was the wife that had made her transition some years before. Although my body is very tired, my soul is soaring. I've lived a lot of years, but was in my last days that the goodness of your heart, Tony, made for many of life's most special moments. You were a good friend to an old man who ended up alone in the world. Thank you for being a valuable part of my life. I love you, Loki. Simple what was given. Just friendship. Little time. But Tony says what happened for him through that time and his experience was that He became aware that he could make a difference. He became aware of the value of his being and of the meaning that he could have from life and give to life. That is called getting more than you give. That's called growing in our spiritual self. Wonderful teacher whose material and to this thought I've gone to again and again. Because when I get stuck, it helps me. Albert Schweitzer. I don't know what your destiny may be, but one thing I know. The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. I think that's true. Those of us who have found real happiness have found it through that service. Now, I just shared with you two very simple stories. What I know is that here, within this room, there are hundreds of stories. Because I have seen the many, many ways that here in this simple place, you've helped each other. You know, from being there on a phone when somebody calls with need, or just being a friend who connects and is there for somebody to talk to, or who says, come on, be a part, come in, that let somebody move out of that place of their vulnerability and touch strength and presence. The people here who have shared of the beautiful wisdom that has come from their spiritual growth and learning. But I think at the end of this service, we pick up those connection cards. From that, there's 100 requests for prayer. These are for ourselves. They're for people that we love, that have meaning to us. And there's a group of people who every day are in prayer with each one of those people. That, if you could hear those stories, how much they would mean. One of the gifts of the chair I get to sit in this place is I get to hear a few of them. Wow. There's something that happens in service. There is a creation that takes place from another of my favorite spiritual teachers. This one, Satya Sai Baba, beautiful Hindu saint and some believe avatar. He says, love one another and help others to rise to the higher levels simply by pouring out love. That amazing thing. Help others to rise to the higher levels simply by pouring out love. Love is infectious and the greatest healing energy. That's what we do when we serve. We simply pour out love in 100 different ways. We know that part of the purpose we're here for is, of course, that which we share and support each other. But the truth is, all of the love that we pour out is a part of a greater love that is lifting humankind into a heart awakening that we share, into a greater consciousness of who and what we are. Every time we serve, we pour out that love, helping others to rise to those higher levels of being. really quite simple, isn't it? If we go back to what happens, what happened for Tony? I don't think he saw an old man. I think he saw a being of meaning and beauty that he connected with and wanted to do more. I think what happened at that moment in the Tenderloin was there was a chance to help somebody else. That's the awakening that's constantly taking place within us. Within this, whether it's people sharing their magic of their voices and their music or the care through their hands. It is consciously awakening to the light of God in every place, in every being. I behold the light of God in you. That is the service. That's what Mary was doing. I behold the light of God in you. Join me. I behold the light of God in you. Feel that? That's easy. Again, I behold the light of God in you. Let's say it just as we look around and see how easy it is to do that, to actually see that light in each other, together. I behold the light of God in you. I behold the light of God in you. I behold the light of God in you. Now feel your heart. That delight that's there, it's what simply overflows and creates the marvelous consciousness on earth that is really fun. Bless you.